Today, special guest at the top of the hour, James Reams and the Barnstormers. This is one of those meetings from the IBMA booth during the week in Raleigh down there. I had a table set up as a broadcaster, and just different artists came up, and James came up. We had a blast. You're going to enjoy talking about James's music and an event that he was nominated for Best Event, and all kinds of cool stuff's going to come up.
Well, this is good. I want to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass James Reams of James Reams and the Barnstormers, and we're going to talk about music and special events and all kinds of cool stuff he's been working on.
Well, yeah, and the hurricane coming in, and IBMA and the whole thing. I'm celebrating 24 years of keeping the Barnstormers together. A lot of road stories, a lot of road between on wheels of 23 years of a national bluegrass band, 8 albums, and something that I'm proudest of in bluegrass, the Pioneers of Bluegrass, the film that I did with the first generation that documents their story in their own words. And then, of course, Steve, this year, I'm very lucky to be here with my buddy Frank McCauley and myself, who have run a festival called the Park Slope Bluegrass Old Time Jamboree for 16 years. We're nominated for Event of the Year, one of the top 5 events in the world. Hard for us to believe as little country boys.
Frank, come over here. Introduce yourself, Frank. Scoot on up here,
buddy. Hi, how's everybody? My name is Frank McCauley, and born and raised in Brooklyn. Well, it was South Brooklyn, if it makes any difference to anybody.
It does, because when I was listening to your accent, I'm thinking, what part of Brooklyn is you're going through this? So you helped me solve that problem.
Okay.
It's definitely a South Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, right. And, you know, especially when I pick up the banjo and start clawhammer, people say, how does a guy from Brooklyn clawhammer a banjo? Well, because I'm from South
Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, the Park Slope Jamboree is a very lovely event. It's a personal event. It's where people are mingling and gathering and get to know each other and playing with each other. There are workshops and concerts and jamming, and it's just a wonderful format for people getting together and having fun.
Well, yeah, go ahead,
James. Yeah, I'm very lucky to have had that festival for 16 years, and people like Frank and his wonderful wife Nancy and all the volunteers and sponsors for 16 years to have a musical event. Steve, I just got to tell you one story. 9/11, I'm sure all your listeners remember that. It was a special year for the Jamboree. It was the Twin Towers had been attacked by terrorists, and the Jamboree was just about a week and a half later. And there was just the fear in the air was palpable. We're 2 miles away, and smoke and the death was wafting through the air. And the Jamboree was packed with people who wanted to be there and be part of a musical community. And that's what we're lucky about, to have somebody like you and ourselves and Flat Lonesome and everyone else part of a great musical community, and we're just lucky to be able to have something alive for 16 years and hope to keep going, and hope to stay on the road with the Barnstormers too. Travel all over the United States, and just so many wonderful people, and just to be able to listen to radio and have radio still active today.
And you have a lot of CDs you can tell me about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tell people how to get their hands on those.
Yeah, Steve, I've been very lucky. I've been recording. I started recording sort of late in life, but the very first records I did with this legendary gentleman. He's in his 80s right now, by the name of Tom Paley, who was worked with Woody Guthrie, who American legend. And Tom Paley and I recorded an album, and it got on a record label that is no longer in existence, called Copper Creek Records, out of Roanoke, Virginia. Gary Reed, wonderful gentleman who had worked for Rebel Records, signed us on for 3-record deal, and did that album called The Mysterious Redbirds. It's a bluegrass old-time album. And then I did an album, my first album, with James Reams and the Barnstormers, 1993. Yeah, that's right, 1993. And then I was able to record...
When you have to go back to a different century, it makes it harder.
And then I did an album with a legendary banjo picker. Baltimore has been neglected as a city for bluegrass, but it was a heartbed of bluegrass. There's just a new book out by Tim Newby called The Hard Driving Sound of Baltimore Bluegrass.
Yeah.
And Walter Hensley was the banjo baron of Baltimore.
Absolutely was.
One of the underrated geniuses.
He absolutely is.
And
thank you for saying that.
And I recorded an album that was nominated at Bluegrass Recording Event of the Year by the IBMA, along with the Chieftains and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band with Walter. And then I had a follow-up album, too, called Wild Card. And working with Walter was just such an amazing thing. He was a mentor. I was able to work with that first generation is always a thrill, but to work with him was particularly a thrill because I sort of like the odd things, Steve. I like Earl Taylor and the Stony Mountain Boys, and I like I like Sid Campbell and the underdog. I don't know what it's always been a thing with me in bluegrass.
I'm with you.
To be able to work with one of the greats who actually was on Capitol Records just before the Beatles came in and wiped them out, just decided that we're going to let go of Walter Hensley, we're going to let go of Mack Wiseman, we're going to let go of so many bluegrass artists because a thing called the Beatles had hit America. And it's been an amazing career of bluegrass music. Many getting into hotels at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then giving up our rooms, Steve.
You can't buy them,
giving up your room after you've been working all day and driving, and then getting in at 4 o'clock. But I've been very lucky to be a part of bluegrass. I started off as a little boy in eastern Kentucky with my dad, who dragged me around square dances and kerosene lamps and sawdust on the floor. I can't believe that I'm at IBMA today and being able to finally meet you, Steve. This is the first time.
It is the first time we've met.
And I'm very excited about that, too.
Are you disappointed that I'm just me and not the guy with the...
No, actually, I'm happy. I would be nervous to meet Steve.
He's a very nice guy. He really is. He's a very nice guy. Very serious about music.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's been amazing for bluegrass.
Yeah.
Steve Martin has been one of the greatest things that have... I mean, you too.
I'm not. Well, no, don't do that. Here's your 20.
All right. The name of Steve Martin has been a great thing. Now, I just got to tell you one thing about Frank and Nancy and the Jamboree. The Jamboree was sort of strange. We've had a lot of wonderful people play at the Jamboree. It's sort of like a little old country store, down home, sort of in your face. And the funny thing about it is one year we didn't have anybody to do the food, and so we had a wonderful friend, Linda and Dennis, who are good friends of Frank and I, and they created a Brooklyn specialty, which is sausage and gravy, which is actually usually Italian sausage with marinara sauce, but of course they call it sausage and gravy. Marinara sauce in Brooklyn is called gravy, for those who may not know it.
If you're Italian.
if you're Italian. And
sauce is called gravy.
Gravy.
This is crazy talk.
I know, I thought the same thing. See, I always thought gravy was made with flour and sausage.
It is.
Like white bread. Yeah,
it is.
White gravy.
Kentucky.
Bulldog, red dog.
That's
red,
right.
Red.
Yeah.
But, so I had to get used to a new type of gravy, and I was so excited. I said, you know what? This is going to be sort of the bluegrass festival that has red sauce. So that's Frank has been such an important part of that. Just I met his wonderful mother. He's taken me into his home, and I'll tell you what, I'm one of the luckiest boys from eastern Kentucky in the world. I'm alive and well and here today.
Well, listen, I thank you guys for stopping by. And so you're waiting for the awards tonight.
Yeah, actually 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, the
lunch. We're small time.
I'm going to be there.
I'm
cutting up to go up there also. I'll be at the lunch.
We're getting ready to lose.
We're going to be a part of the Losers Club.
That's all right. Listen.
And I'll send you that photo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what? You didn't have to do all that. It's just nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll let you guys get back to getting ready for your lunch and things.
Check me out on Airplane Direct.
I'll find it. Thanks, James and Frank.
All right.
Thanks so much, James and Frank. You know, we actually ran out of time, or we would have stretched that out a lot more. There were people like, it was kind of like you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Things were changing. This was at the convention center in Raleigh, and it was just a blast that they had time to sit, and we covered a lot of material. James is a fast talker, which is pretty cool for a kid from eastern Kentucky, I think. That was a blast. We'll be looking for you down the road somewhere. Thanks, James.